And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Down in Chicago, the Vans expect some tough competition today.
It's hard to explain the feeling that we have in this locker room, the 5-1 for our team right now. That's not easy to do. From the kickoff, setting the tone on special teams, to the defense doing what they did, for our offense to get that touchdown was good.
It's week 6 in the National Football League. The Bears head to Carolina, trying to go 3-0 on the road. No problem. Bears win.
Bridgewater could not find anyone, and he is taken down. Bilal Nichols with the sack, first allowed by Carolina in their last three games. Pass deflected and then picked off to Sean Gibson.
Jalen Hurts make the play on the ball. Sometimes, man, that ball just fall in the right place at the right time.
Third and goal from the 9. Foles looking to the end zone. He throws, and the catch is made for a touchdown by the rookie out of Notre Dame, Cole Kmet.
I told our guys that we're fighters. We have a bunch of fighters on this team, guys that fight to the end in all three phases.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Hogue.
When you speak of me, speak well.
Well.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
And I like to part.
What's that, Judge?
My boy's wicked smart.
Our defense and our special teams today, I thought, really played well.
Bridgewater on third down in trouble. Down he goes. Khalil Mack. Now the handoff to Davis. And the ball is knocked free. It's scooped up by the Bears. Bridgewater on first down. Throws and it's picked off. DeAndre Houston Carson comes up with the interception to put an exclamation point on this game for the Chicago Bears.
What in the Sam Hill?
Here they are, the Adams.
For us, in our room, we're going to be super fired up about 5-1.
Hogan Johns.
And there they are, Adam Johns. Your first place, 5-1 Chicago Bears. No problems at all.
None. But how about it, though? 5-1, atop of the NFC North. Thank you, Buccaneers. Thank you. Who did the Vikings lose to?
The Falcons.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. Not that they mattered in this equation anyway. I just wanted to bring them up early in this conversation so I can remember to talk about them later. But how about them Bears? First place, NFC North.
I definitely, Johns, did not envision a scenario where the Bears are 5-1, and I was writing a post-game column roasting the offensive line. Maybe we put that off to, I don't know if we want to lead with that or not, but their offense is still a problem. And the reason why I am struggling to make the, let me say this, okay, to our listeners. If you're one of those Bears fans that wants to get on Matt Nagy about everything with the offense, this is probably not going to be your favorite podcast, okay? Let me just start with that. Because if there's one thing I've learned over the years being around football, it is that play callers look like awful play callers when nothing is getting blocked. And that's what I'm seeing. Most weeks, I am hesitant to put the O-line on blast until I at least go back and watch the coach's film to get that end zone angle, because it is hard to see that stuff, especially from the field, but also from the Fox broadcast. Today, it didn't matter. You could see it. It's a problem. And to me, the Bears are 5-1. They have a huge opportunity, Johns, to win the NFC North. At 5-1, you can be talking about first round buys, especially if you knock out the Rams next week, knock out the Saints, okay? You win those games, you are well into the conversation about first round buys and potentially sort of controlling your own destiny to the Super Bowl. I just said those two words. That kind of stuff can't realistically be talked about right now until they fix their offensive line. And in terms of fixes, I don't have any. That's the problem.
Well, you can't fix it at this point. You're already down your second round pick at left guard. You made a switch at your backups at left guard. Rashad Coward getting the start over Alex Bars. Maybe missing Juan Castillo this past week was more significant than Matt Nagy wanted to let on. It's not ideal when your offensive line coach isn't in the same state that you're currently playing a football game in. It's not ideal, but that's an excuse. We know the offensive line has been problematic for a while now. You can even go back to last season, but there is no quick fix because the personnel isn't going to be addressed to after the season. So you got to find out what you could do with them. Maybe that's more passing, less running. I don't know. I can see today was a game where you look at Matt Nagy and you're like, oh yeah, I know why he's, you know, loses patience with this offensive line, with this run game, because it doesn't work. Not one bit. Okay, it got better later, but you get my point here.
Well, eventually they did actually break a few runs late. Not many, but there was one for 11, there was one for 12, there was one for 7 on that last three and out that didn't, you know, they threw the ball on third down. But that actually, to me, is a credit. I would actually give Nagy credit for that, because the whole reason for trying to stay committed to the run, even when it's not working, is that eventually you're going to wear down the defense and break some late. I think that actually happened today. If you actually look at what happened, Nagy called 15 first down run plays in this game. That's a decent amount, especially for him, especially when it's not working. And they averaged 3.8 yards per carry on those plays. But to me, what's more alarming is that only 6 of them went for 4 yards or more, which is what you would consider a good first down run play. And just as many, 6, went for 1 yard or less. A few of them went for 0. A few of them went for -1. So you're getting into way too many second and long situations. And you're also experiencing some success when you throw the ball on first down. You're picking up 4 or 5 yards, which is what you're trying to get on first down. So if you can't get it on the ground, it's almost insanity to keep trying. That's where my defense for Nagy comes in. You just can't call plays when they're not blocked.
This is also where Matt Nagy would interject in the conversation, right? Like he did on the Zoom call, right? Did you hear this part?
Yeah. Well, I don't. Go ahead.
Okay, where he goes. I understand we want to look at all the negatives and stuff, but really, guys, what's really cool is that our defense played lights out today. They played awesome against a good offense. I just want to be careful of getting too much of that. It's the negativity he's talking about again. I'm pretty excited, he continues. We're 5-1. So I know you want to focus on the offensive line, and rightfully so. They are a problem, Adam, but they're still, you still want to keep going. You got more.
Well,
I'm looking at you.
One more thing.
Okay, get it off.
Because I get where Nagy's coming from. He just played the I'm going to blast them after a win card after the Bucs game. Okay, he. What a great press conference it was on Friday after that game. We need to focus on the details. And then they spent 10 days focusing on the details, and they couldn't get it in the right formation on the first damn play of the game. Was it the first play? When they got the, what was it? What, first
I
or second
play? I
believe
it was the third.
Whatever. They're going to get a delay of game, and they have to call timeout, and then they come out of the timeout, and they get the delay of game. And that goes beyond the offensive line. That's just still part of the problem. And honestly, I would put that conversation, I'm open up to more of coaching issues, okay? When it comes to this offensive line, and you got Rashad Coward. So here's one example. First and 10, nice 4-yard run. That's what you're looking for, right? Second and 6, Rashad Coward gets run over by a rookie. Loss of 3. So the next time you ask me why Matt Nagy doesn't commit to the run, there you go, right there. There's an example. Late in the game, it's 3rd and 10. The Bears are in the red zone. The Panthers go with a 3-man rush. The Bears can't block it. Nick Foles has to unload the ball early because Charles Leno Jr. couldn't give him even 2 seconds on a 3-man rush. Like, these are simple. I'm not picking on complicated stunts. I'm not picking on different things that happen at different points. You know, I'm willing to give the defense credit when they just make a nice play. This is simple one-on-one breakdowns that can't happen if you want to be taken seriously as a real contender. You want to know why the Bears keep going underdog. They're going to be underdog next week. They're probably going to be big underdogs to the Rams. They're going to be underdogs to the Saints. They can't be taken seriously, Johns, as real contenders until they block better. All right, I'm done. That's fine. Sorry.
You feel better? You feel better?
Yeah. You're right. They're 5-1. They're in first place.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Good job.
I love the nitpicking of the offense, though. It is 100% fair. But this is my column for yesterday. Kevin Fishbane actually handled the offense. So if you want to get nitpicky with the offense, read Kevin Fishbane's column and the Athletic tomorrow. My column, I was lucky enough to get the defense. And I think they got the best defense in the entire NFL. I know the Steelers have an argument. I know the Ravens have an argument. But you know what? Those teams also have Ben Roethlisberger and Lamar Jackson. We got a little quarterback switch here in Chicago and an offense that can't get itself ready on the third play from scrimmage. The Bears' defense is championship caliber again. They're even the potential for a breakout game. It's like they're flirting with it. Like Eddie Jackson is just waiting for that two-touchdown game again. Like I thought he was going to have it again, especially in that wild sequence of plays in the third quarter. So while you could criticize the offense, and they are completely fair game, although did you know that David Montgomery finished with more rushing yards than Mike Davis?
Hey, that's a good way to mention that both of us got our bold predictions right in this game.
Yes, yes. So take that and think about that, as Matt Nagy would say. I just think, you know, at 5-1, you can feel good. Like the offense is bad, but you can really feel good, like great even, about how great this defense could be. They are a championship caliber unit. Just look what they did to Teddy Bridgewater with just look the statistically, like he was having such an efficient season. Did not look like that whatsoever against the Bears. And I know they missed some plays, but the Bears defense missed some plays too.
I think though that's why this is sort of related, like these two conversations. I think that's why I'm so passionately coming at the offensive line today, because you're right. They're back. I don't know that this defense is quite as good as 2018, but they're showing signs that they could potentially be. And I mean, when you got DeAndre Houston Carson coming out in the last two games, coming up with a big game sealing play as the closer. I mean, I tweeted it. I don't know if the Cubs need a closer, but if the White Sox need a new closer, DeAndre Houston Carson.
DHC is your guy.
Sign him. I mean, he's the guy. But like they're getting the plays, the game-changing type plays, despite, and I swore I wasn't going to be the one to bring this up. I was going to let you do it. Despite the refs holding back the defense from some amazing plays, they're getting the job done, right? And you have a quarterback out there now. Like, Nick Foles isn't the greatest, but he is a proven Super Bowl MVP. That happened. He has already shown in his career that he is good enough to take a team that has a good defense and an okay offense to the Super Bowl. But that Eagles offense in 2017 was a hell of a lot better than this Bears offense, and specifically their strength was the offensive line. So it's great they're 5-1, and Bears fans should be happy about that. But if they're going to take advantage, to your point, Johns, this great defense that is doing its job and then some right now, they got to figure that out.
I feel like this is the point or part of the podcast where I want to tell our listeners to be happy that they're 5-1, and I'm sorry that Adam Hoge is yelling at you at this moment. Because you should enjoy your 5-1 Bears. You should be ecstatic that they're atop the NFC North. You should have enjoyed watching the Buccaneers slap around the Packers during the afternoon game. But yes, there are concerns. And maybe this is a great segue to the Nick Foles conversation here. Because, man, was he fired up in that post-game interview, Adam? Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the the edginess, the like he did it in such a nice way too. Like it maybe just play it like he was yelling at us, but he was nice about it. That's how I would describe
everyone
it.
Everyone doing this is Nick Foles, just entered the meeting.
Oh boy, did he enter it ever after the game.
No, you're right. We should play this. I've been actually looking forward to playing this because it was one of those things that you could not convey on Twitter properly. So it kind of starts with the second question. We'll play the whole thing for you because I really think it was a great press conference. Here's Nick Foles after the Bears move to 5-1.
Nick, the first possession, kind of some good and some bad in there. What did you think of that, the short field that you had, and how did the delay of game happen?
Yeah, we were having issues. I don't know. Honestly, we got to look back just with communication in the huddle and not the greatest way to start, but ultimately we were able to get a touchdown and get Cole's first touchdown, which is huge. But we just got to be better. A couple unique plays right there that we weren't able to line up correctly. So we got to figure out what was going on and move on. But thank goodness we were able to put together a touchdown right there with a short field because of our defense.
Mike Berman.
Nick, the trend kind of continues. You're not finding that consistency that you're striving for on offense, but you are winning games. How do you come to grips with all that? Is this what you guys are? Kind of a win ugly, inconsistent team? Are you okay with that? Or does the offense really have to improve for you to go where you want to go?
Well, I first say, would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. You know, I think that's the common thing. So I think it tells you a lot about our team. Is this who we are offensively? We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to have rhythm. But ultimately in the NFL, it's about winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you get it done. If you put up 50 points and you lose a game, those 50 points don't mean anything. So right now we're winning games. We're playing together as a team. We can improve. I think that's exciting. If we were winning these games and playing perfect and they were this tight and we're playing perfect, what do you do? Where do you improve? I mean, then we're sitting here and it's like, man, I guess when we just, you know, play those teams, it's just not going to happen. Well, right now we have a lot of areas to improve offensively once again, but we are figuring out ways to, you know, score and get points and move the ball and do those things. We can fix what we're doing. It doesn't happen overnight. Offenses don't get fixed overnight. And sometimes they don't get fixed throughout the course of years. You've seen in the NFL, there's been teams that have been bad offensively for a very long time. We're not one of those teams. We're a team that's young offensively. We're growing. We're getting to know each other. We're figuring out who we are, and we're doing it at the right time. And as a team, we're winning these games. And I think that's what's important. Now, we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know you're all going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting because we don't have to have y'all say, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes. So I'm proud of our guys. I think we're continuing to improve. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense. I'm excited about the guys that are there. I like the communication that's happening on the sideline. I love the passion of the players. Most important, they care. And we're bonding. We're getting to know each other. That's football. Like, you don't just go out there and play football. You got to care about the man next to you to make those plays. So I like where we're at. I know we're going to improve. I believe in our staff. I believe in our players. And I'm really grateful to be a part of this organization.
Dan Wiederer.
Nick, on the touchdown pass to Cole, wondering what your eyes told you and what gave you the trust to give him that opportunity. And given some of the conversations that you've had with him recently about just him staying patient, what was the reward for him obviously getting in the end zone for the first time?
You know, to be honest, the play wasn't even designed for him. We haven't thrown that route all week, and there was just something in my gut where I'm like, I'm going to pull this trigger right here. He's going to catch it. We're going to go, and that's football sometimes. They had a guy covering down on our running back, and they did a nice job with their coverage, pushing a guy over and playing a little lower, and, you know, Cole made a great play. There's a reason he's here. He can make those plays and go up and, you know, help us out. And I was talking to, you know, Jimmy in the locker room. I think Jimmy Graham caught his first touchdown as a rookie in the stadium as well, which I think is really cool. I don't know if y'all knew that. Pretty cool, though. Now y'all can write about something else. So there you go. You're welcome.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pat Finley.
Nick, how much better do you guys need to be at the deep stuff?
seemed like there was a lot of short and intermediate throws today. To be as dangerous as you want to be offensively, how do you fix up the deeper stuff?
Yeah, I mean, each game is its own entity. Studying this defense, I think they're number one in not giving up explosive plays. If they're not number one, they're up there in the top. So the reason is they play a lot of zone, so it's hard to hit those deep plays. There was a couple of times we tried to, it didn't work out. But that's something we got to keep working on. We got to be able to get those big chug plays. We got a few, but we got to get more. And I think they're going to come. Once again, being able to figure out how to win is great because now we can, hey, we won, but hey, let's get better. Let's try to get some bigger plays. Let's get our playmakers out there, let them do the thing downfield. That'll open up the box, help us run the ball, and then we just continue to improve as an offense.
Kevin Fishbane.
Hey, Nick, I want to ask you about two plays kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. What happened on the interception? And then the flip side, the 3rd and 9 to A-Rob. How did that play develop for you?
Interception. I felt pressure from the left. I was trying to make a play. It was a dumb interception. I was just trying to, get us down there, try to get it over. The defender guy made a good play. In reality, that's on me. In reality, I should just throw it away or try to hit Jimmy for a 2-yard completion and go to 2nd down. I got a little, too aggressive just trying to make a play. I'll learn from it, put it in the database and move on. And then I assume the 3rd and 9 was when I hit – was that the personal foul too? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, 4th quarter.
You know what? A-Rob should not be open on that play. And they had two guys on him, and he was able to split him and make a play. And then we got the penalty, and that's a huge part of the game. So he's a guy that I trust. Even when he should be covered, he's not covered, and that was a big play in the game. So happy he got open.
JJ?
Nick, you talk about believing that these issues are fixable and because you have all this belief in your teammates. Are there other things that make you believe, hey, like the issues that have popped up while we're winning and learning how to win will get fixed throughout the season that go beyond, believing in your teammates? Or is that really the most important thing here?
You know what? I think the thing is when you win a game like this and you get back to the locker room, obviously you're excited because it's very hard to win in the NFL. But when you can sit down as men and you're not satisfied and not happy and you want to discuss where we can get better right after a win against a good team, that tells you a lot. Because we could easily just go in there, we won, doesn't matter. No, that's not what was happening in the locker room. We were sitting there having discussions. How can we do this better? What can we do here better? Coaches and players are talking. And that is what it's about. We're not getting complacent. We want to get better. And we're talking. It's easy to say, hey, 5-1, this is awesome, the NFL. No, that's not what I see here. And I've been on teams where maybe at the beginning of the season, you're trying to figure out who you are offensively. You're sputtering at times. And then all of a sudden, you just keep believing. You keep working. You keep watching film. Who do we want to be? What do we do well? How can we do this? And then all of a sudden, there's that one game that it just clicks. And it's happened many times in my career. I've been a part of it. But it all starts with after games like this, you sit there, you have the conversations, and you are not satisfied with simply winning a game because you know you have to get better. And I think that's just in life and what we do. You can't just be satisfied and become complacent. You have to continue to work on the little details every single day with what you do to get better. And then it's going to click. You got to believe. Without belief, nothing's possible.
Brad Biggs.
Hey, Nick. In the no huddle, it wasn't a hurry up or anything today, but it certainly seemed to provide a little bit of spark or maybe a momentum for the offense. What is it that made that work today? And I think you probably had some success using that against the Bucks as well. Can you talk about what makes that click for you and the offense?
I think it's tough for a defense when you switch speeds. It's like playing basketball. You got a fast break. You bring it up. You do all these different things. You got to show them these different speeds. And it ultimately comes down to putting stress on the defense and then letting players make plays. When you go no huddle, hey, they're on their heels. When you huddle up, sometimes they can get a good call on for what they practice all week. Well, all of a sudden you're no huddle. Some of their calls aren't possible from that situation. So I think it's a good change up. Is it something we're going to major in? I don't know. But we're going to continue to work and show these different speeds because I think that's what offenses do. Great offenses do. You can huddle up. You can do well. You can go no huddle, switch the speed. You can go super fast. And it becomes dangerous because then all of a sudden that team you're playing has to work on those. And I thought today for, really our first time switching up the tempo like that, we were able to get a couple good drives going that really helped us get a W tonight.
A couple more for Nick. Jason Leisure.
Nick, as imperfect as it was, did this feel a little more thorough and complete of a game to you guys where you're not scrambling at the end trying to come back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even – were we down it? I don't know. Like, I mean,
you
I was
not.
Playing, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I play – I stay in the moment. I don't worry too much about the score. I just play because it's too much of a grind in the NFL. If you start playing and, you know, obviously you got to be smart at times, but I think that's different. We're not playing from behind 16, 17 points. We had the lead. We were able to keep the lead. It was a two-score game at some points. Then it went to one score, and then we were able to move the ball. Defense comes up big. Once again, great team win. Not easy. Really proud of our guys. But, you know, it was different where we're not at the end trying to, you know, come back and make plays and win at the last second, stuff like that. So it was nice to have that lead. It's just now we got to build and put more points on board. So, hey, we didn't hit that 4 minute a little earlier and finish the game.
Last one, Dan Wiederer.
Nick, you seem genuinely more juiced up than we've seen you at any time since you've been in Chicago. Is that a fair assessment?
Hey, you know, the more you play, the more you're with these guys, the more you grind out these wins and we get to know each other. I'm excited, but I think I'm just excited because I felt like we got a little bit better tonight. I feel like we're figuring out who we want to be, and that excites me. I think the conversations after the game in the locker room juiced me up and got me excited because we're not just sitting there happy with winning. And that excites me about this with these guys. I'm exhausted. I can't wait to take a nap on the plane. But I am hitting a little bit of adrenaline right now. But once I hit that bus and that plane, I'll be out. But I think it's the conversations in the locker room with my teammates. We were able to get a Meek Mill song on in the locker room. It reminded me of, you know, Philly a little bit, you know. So I'm not going to lie, that got my juices going. So shout out to Meek. Was it Dreams and Nightmares? Yeah. So it brought back a memory for me that was exciting. And then I might have got up and danced a little bit. I'm more like country, maybe some Christian rap. But I'll tell you what, if Meek comes on with that song, I get rolling.
Johns, we got to get the Meek Mill going.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the were you going to play that? You're looking like you're going to.
No, I don't have it. I'm not even going to lie. The old Google Mini in my office came in handy there. Google, play Meek Mill, Dreams and what did he say? What was the song?
Oh, you did it right after his.
Not my strength. Yeah. I didn't know the song.
Okay.
I'm a little embarrassed to say it.
Okay. Well, Club Dub was clearly rocking again, and I love it. Like, I feel like this is really going to endear himself to Bears fans a bit more because he's not happy. And he showed some emotion after a win. Like, he's just not going to take the win and settle for it. Like, this is a guy who sounded like a Super Bowl champion. He's upset after they won. I think that's a positive development at the quarterback position, at least in terms of what we've covered since 2012.
I tweeted this somewhat impulsively, but I still believe it. So this is my 10th season covering the Bears, and I'm legitimately struggling to remember a press conference from a quarterback, post-game or otherwise, that was as good as that one. It was passionate, entertaining, and informative, and he didn't give anything away, which is the biggest reason why players are always so hesitant to sort of be themselves with the media. And it's just not hard to understand why Nick Foles' teammates love him wherever he goes. Now, I sort of got ganged up on, I felt like, by the Athletic staff. By the way, subscribe to the Athletic. Skipped over that whole thing. Or maybe don't subscribe after they're ganging up on me. No, subscribe at theathletic.com/HoganJohns. But John Greenberg and Kevin Fishbane started rattling off all these press conferences like Mike Glennon's This Is My Year.
No, come on. Like,
yeah, that's not a good press conference. That's a press conference we kind of mock.
I would say Cutler did have some press conferences that were endearing, but in different ways, especially when he knew his time was coming to an end with Trestman, and he was benched. Like, that was a different type of emotion then. Josh McCown had some pretty passionate press conferences, but not like this, right? Not with a 5-1 team. Not with a defense playing this way and not with a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl. It just, you're right in saying that there was something different about this one with Nick Foles stepping to whatever they're at, the table with the microphone there in Charlotte.
Well, I just think that there was like some genuine emotion and like something got him going there.
Mike Berman set him off.
And, yeah. Where'd he go, Mike?
Yeah, NBC Chicago's Mike Berman, you know, from his car, set off Nick Foles. Let's be honest. Like, he wanted to yell, but Nick Foles is too nice to do that. Like, that again, he endears himself in different ways. And that was some positive fire that we saw from Nick Foles.
It was definitely fire, and it was good points. Like, yeah, we're 5-1. We should be happy about that. But I think almost sort of lost in there. Like, I felt like Nagy gave off the impression that they were celebrating and should be celebrating, whereas Nick was like, no, we're having some real conversations about how we need to be better.
Right.
Like, also happy and dancing to Meek Mill and all that.
Exactly. He was celebrating the win. But yes, there were some conversations, obviously, with some other offensive players about.
But he brought up some. Yeah, he said we're also in there talking about how things need to be better. And I think, like, if you want to look at this positively, and we're not going to play Nagy, but one of the things he said is, you know, like, how great would it be if you do figure out the issues and all of a sudden you're peaking at the right time? Because you don't want to be peaking right now. You want to be peaking in December and January, right? That's when you want to be peaking. And so that's a completely fair point. My problem is how long are we going to go through these offensive problems without fixes? Like, now you've fixed the quarterback and you've seen some of those positive results. You've seen, and we broke this down after the Bucs game, tangible plays where Nick Foles is probably making a difference over Mitch Trubisky. And yet the points output and the running game isn't really changing.
Oh, no, it starts up front. And you could go back to your rant again.
No, I think we covered him.
What else? Go ahead. I'm listening.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
All right, Johns. Well, this is where we need to make a decision. Are we going positive or are we going negative? Because this was one of those polarizing games where even with your defense that you're correctly raving about, I mean, there was one sequence where they had didn't they have four penalties on the drive?
Yes, yes. They had a couple 20 men on the field penalties. Although it looked like from the broadcast that Robert Quinn got off the field, but
there was a bunch of things. I mean, you had even earlier in the game, you had that sequence where I thought it was fairly obvious that the Panthers were just trying to draw the defense off sides. And I thought that's why Nagy ran down the sideline and called timeout. And then out of the timeout, they got him to jump off sides. However, you looked at the replay, and I'm not actually sure that the two guys that moved were actually even in the neutral zone.
Right, right. So, well, I guess we could rip the officiating and raise certain red flags about the defense. But, like, the general sense I have, and I wrote about this on The Athletic, is that while every game, I think, will show you that there are mistakes to be made up for on defense, that they have proven to be pretty darn resilient when they're needed to be. And the margin of error is so slim against them. Like, if these teams don't take advantage of these mistakes by the Bears defense, like, you may never get the chance again. I think you saw that play out a couple times here with the Panthers. Like, DJ Moore has to catch that touchdown in the back of the end zone. He cannot drop that, even though I know Jalen Johnson disrupted a little bit, whatever. He's got to make that play. Those types of plays do not come about often against the Bears defense. That's how it's playing out for them. That's why I think they're one of the best. They're resilient. They're confident. They're getting after quarterbacks. The numbers against quarterbacks is exceptional. So while there were areas of concern defensively, I think every game will have that. I think overall the general vibe you should have about this defensive unit right now is that they're one of the league's best and they're resilient when they need to be.
Part of the problem is that their margin of error is so freaking small because they're not getting much help from the offense that I think we all kind of tend to magnify some minor defensive deficiencies. And the penalties were an issue. And you brought up the touchdown that was dropped. You, I mean, wasn't that Moore at the end who almost made an incredible catch?
Yeah, yeah.
But Teddy missed a throw.
Yes.
And that was one of the things I forgot to bring up, actually, as we previewed the game last week was, you know, going back to that Saints game from last year when Bridgewater was the Saints quarterback, and the Saints won that game easily. But you may remember, he missed some throws in that game. I think there was even maybe even a dropped interception. Like, so there were opportunities that the defense didn't take advantage of. And I think every game is going to have some of that where the defense gets a little fortunate. But I'm sorry. I made the prediction that this should have been a comfortable victory, and I stand by that. They missed so many opportunities, and then the refs didn't help them. I mean, they had a pick six taken off the board on a ball that I thought was clearly tipped.
That penalty on Kyle Fuller for unnecessary roughness was not unnecessary roughness. I don't know what Mike Pereira was seeing either. That was a shoulder-to-shoulder collision.
Yeah.
He is so darn good at timing those hits. So darn good at lowering and contorting his body where it's his shoulder, sometimes the side, his hip, leading that collision, leading that tackle. And he did it again. I feel like every week we see hits like this, and every week the officials seem confounded about what to do. Like, was that a legal hit? That looked very violent. I don't know what to do here. Let's just flag him 15 yards. Like, it's just, it's like the safe decision for them when you don't actually see the contact that needs to happen for it to be the penalty. The pass interference penalty on Kyle Fuller, I think that's debatable. If you're going to allow Allen Robinson to get interfered with in the red zone, then this should be a fair game. So, a lot of...
That's what's frustrating, John. Yeah. The inconsistency. So you had Eddie Jackson's got a pick, now had two pick sixes taken off the board this season because of penalties. And if you're going to call that one against the Giants, then the one on... was that the one on Allen Robinson? There was one in the game that the Panthers committed that they didn't call. That should have been blatant pass. Yeah, it was that play.
Allen Robinson in the red zone, yeah.
And that led to a field goal when it could have been a touchdown because they would have been within the five-yard line at that point. So you got inconsistency there. You know,
like Jalen Johnson's pass interference penalty. I get it. He locked up the arm. But at the same time, he's got every right to that ball, you know?
I'll point out, and I know this from talking to wide receiver coaches, at both the college and pro level, those wide receivers are skillfully taught how to draw pass interferences. And correct. One of them is, if you hook the defender, it's going to make it look like he's hooking you. And that's going to always draw the flag for the defense, okay? And I'm getting so between the hits on the quarterback and they're calling all kinds of contact down the field on the cornerbacks. It is getting so hard to play defense. It's specifically getting so hard to play the cornerback position in the NFL these days. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I think there's a lot of truth to what Akeem Hicks said. I think it was back in Atlanta. You know, fans like watching defense too. We don't need to see 40 points in every single, you know, for the winner have 40, 30 points in every single game. And It's not just hard to watch because I like watching defense, but also schematically to a certain point, like this works against the Bears. When your strength is your defense and you have offensive problems, this is going to be a theme the rest of the season where they have good defensive plays taken off the board because the officials don't know how to force these rules.
It's almost been seemingly forgotten that the defender has a right to that ball too. And look, I like scoring. I like highlight reel catches. But I do enjoy a good hit. I do enjoy defensive schematics and the things they do. I think Bears fans should be very encouraged that Teddy Bridgewater's completion percentage dropped by like nearly 25% today. 20% almost today. But the rules definitely favor the offensive side of the ball, which almost makes what the Bears are doing defensively all that more impressive. Because let's be honest, we remember he had all the roughing the passer penalties not too long ago to discuss. So,
and does it make their offensive problems even worse?
Yeah. True. Well, first, Adam, you have to block first before you can throw the ball down the field to get those pass interferences.
You know, maybe I'm just being negative today. I probably am. But even when, you know, when David Montgomery like broke that first 11-yard run, like when he finally, I think it was in the fourth quarter, I was because we're sitting at home, we're not covering the games like we normally can in the press box. I'm like, there's got to be a holding penalty, right? Like, that's what was going through my mind. I'm like, there must be a flag coming. It must have been a hold.
Yeah.
No, okay. Actually did get an 11-yard run. Good job.
Thumbs up.
Hello, everyone. This is Al Riveron.
Oh, man.
Good job, Al.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Adam, before we get out of here, I want to talk to you about some of the Bears pass catchers today. Notably, Cole Kmet. We finally saw him in the end zone. That had to feel really good for the Chicago area native. His mom was in the stands. How about that, you know?
Oh,
get an opportunity
nice.
To go another. Yeah, great story. So that's good to see. But then you have Anthony Miller's game again. 3 catches, 8 yards. Had a first down. Didn't get the first down. What's going on there? Darnell Mooney continues to just outperform him in so many ways. Still got Jimmy Graham doing Jimmy Graham things. But I just think, you know, when you think about the offense trying to figure itself out, there are so many different layers to this conversation because of what's going on with the actual pass catchers for the Bears.
Yeah, and the Anthony Miller thing, you know, it's funny because someone tweeted at me, when are the Bears just going to admit that Darnell Mooney should be the number 2 wide receiver? And my response was, well, based on the snap counts, they did admit that in week 2. Because Mooney has been playing more since week 2. And that's been pretty consistent. So it's interesting because I think we focus on that draft class. Roquan Smith, James Daniels, Anthony Miller, right? They're all the same year. Bilal Nichols, too. Am I right about all that?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get mixed up.
Javon Wims.
Who's another guy that you're not really getting much of out of the offense. But what I was going to say is, on the positive note, kind of challenged Roquan Smith. Lance Briggs kind of challenged Roquan Smith on this podcast, right? He's been playing much better. He's made some really nice plays. That second down stop late in the game. I think it was the Panthers' second to last drive where he got off the block, made a tackle for a loss. That was a big time play. That was a big boy NFL play there. And he's been much better in recent weeks. I think that that's a very, very good sign. So I can see him make more impactful, you know, pick off a pass here, there, and there, that, you know, that type of thing. But he had a key blitz too at one point in the game. So he's been playing better. James Daniels is hurt, but he was playing better before that. Unfortunately, the Anthony Miller thing, it's a problem.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I feel like there's, like, the positive way to look at it, like the glass half full way to look at it, is that another draft pick is taking those catches away from him and Darnell Mooney. And yeah, sometimes that just happens. But at the same time, this is a guy that you traded up for in the second round that you expected a lot more out of. So to see maybe Cole Kmet get in there, make that catch over the middle, and you know Jimmy Graham's going to do what he's going to do. So there's just not enough balls to be spread around at this point in the offense. There's not enough plays, and I don't know if those plays are going to continue to come to Anthony Miller. I mean, a couple of his receptions were just quick throws, essentially runs. You know what I'm talking about. Like, those were like Mark Trestman like runs, which were really just quick passes out to Anthony Miller.
But you know what? They should have more than two reliable wide receivers, I'd say. And that's pretty much what they have. Like, because you immediately, after Mooney, you pretty much go to, like you said, Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet. I don't really count Patterson as a wide receiver. And by the way, Demetrius Harris.
Bad drop today.
3 targets, 0 catches. I'd like to see, they clearly scheme plays for him. I'd like to see those plays that are schemed for 86, schemed for 85.
Yes, yes. I said that a week ago. When it's clearly, like, it's obvious that he's the first read in the certain progressions for the quarterback. And, you know, Trubisky missed him, whatever. Nick Foles hits him on a play action, whatever the play is. Can we get that to be Cole Kmet? There just seems to be more there, especially with Demetrius Harris, like, drops a wide open first down. Like, that's a problem.
And the funny thing is, Nick Foles said the touchdown wasn't supposed to go to Cole. He said he was like they didn't practice that all week. It's just where, and it wasn't like he was that open. It was nice throw, nice catch. But it wasn't even meant to go.
There's like 3 guys there. I gave a catch for the rookie.
Yeah, crazy. Hey, I think we got to pat ourselves on the back, though.
Bold predictions.
I don't know that we've ever had a week where both of us hit our bold prediction, but it happened. So yours, we also didn't get too crazy this week, but yours was that they'd score in the third quarter.
And I upped that touchdown. With the touchdown.
Yep, and they did that, and they had not done that this season. So that counts as bold. And then mine was that Mike Davis would be held under 100 yards, total yardage, and he had 52 yards on the ground. Bears run defense stepped up today, too. I'd say that's a positive. They were not leaky, and I need to acknowledge that they were not leaky today. And he only had 2 catches for 3 yards, and Davis has been very dangerous as a pass catcher, too. So another example of the Bears defense completely doing their job, and hashtag Bears special teams. Did not get tweeted once today. Bears got Sherrick.
I was going to say, you know why.
Sherrick McManus
is back out in the field.
He was back. Unfortunately, he left the game late with the hamstring.
It's probably the same injury again.
So, got to hope that that's minor. He makes a difference. He really does. It's a different unit when he's on the field. So, and we know that. He's been here forever. But Bears won 2 of the 3 phases today. They may have even won all 3, even as bad as the offense was. But
yeah.
They got to fix that going forward. All right.
Yeah, just one quick thought on the NFC North. So this is going to be the Packers and the Bears. This is their race. Like, the Vikings are not coming back.
Yes. However, the Lions, not that I don't view them as contenders in the division, but they're starting to look more like that team we thought would be pesky, at least. I mean, they blew out the Jaguars today.
I think you and I could blow out the Jaguars.
Well, but that's a thing they should do.
Yes. Yes.
And they, you know, the Bears have played some teams this year they should have blown out, and they didn't.
Touche.
But, I think this is the Bears and Packers, and sort of had that, haven't you know, watched that Packers game too closely, but had it on while we had all the work going on, and it certainly seemed like they were thoroughly dominated after going up 10-0. So some defensive issues exposed, and actually that's been kind of a secret with the Packers so far in their hot start, is the defense has been iffy.
Looked like it. So, yeah, and the Vikings, who we've been relatively still high on because it's a pretty good roster. Mike Zimmer is a darn good coach. Something's wrong there, man. Kirk Cousins, my guy, no longer. 3 interceptions in the first half, losing to the Falcons at home. Not good.
Not good at all. Not good at all. So, hey, you don't give back the wins, that's for sure. And the Bears are 5-1, but they got to figure some things out. Seems like we say that every week, but hey. Monday Night Football coming up. The Rams. After what happened last year, that was an ugly game in L.A.
Yeah.
And as we're recording this, the Rams are getting set to play the 49ers, so a little bit of an opportunity to watch the next opponent, and that'll be on Monday Night Football. The Bears got 2 Monday Night games coming up here.
With this defense, man. They're built for primetime.
They are.
Not about that offense.
Whew. Yeah. Nick Foles in primetime. He's okay in those situations. All right. Signing off. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue. H-O-G-E at Adam Johns. J-A-H-N-S. Follow us on Twitter. I'll be more positive during the week. Okay. I got it out of my system today. We'll get the positivity back. Maybe.
You're just cranky.
I don't really have much to be cranky about. It's been raining all day. Maybe that's my problem. It looked nice and sunny and in the 60s in Carolina. Maybe that's my problem. Read us, though. The column is up. My column on the offensive line. I still think you should read it, unless you want to just blame everything on Nagy and be okay, then you probably shouldn't read it. But NBCSportsChicago.com is where you can get that. All Johnsy's coverage is up at The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where you should go to subscribe. Had a couple tweets this week of people who pulled the trigger and did subscribe. Love hearing that. You should continue to do that. And you also get the snarkiness of John Greenberg coming at me on Twitter and the Fishman and all his coverage.
With his fun facts. Bombardments of fun facts.
He loves his fun facts, even though I'd say 49% of the time, they're not fun. They're still facts, but they're not necessarily fun.
True.
But they're the Fishman's fun facts. So you can always get those on Twitter. Follow him at KFishbane. All right, please rate and review the podcast. Appreciate you doing that. Still time to chime in on the voicemail line, too. 872-221-0046. 872-221-0046 is the voicemail line. Chime in. We'll hear the best voicemails on Tuesday. Bears are 5-1. We move on to the Rams, who might already be losing right now as I look over at the screen. We'll see. Maybe a winnable game. Could the Bears be 6-1? We'll talk about all this next week. We'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Y'all stay corona-free, all right? And God bless.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.